In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, good morning. This is Rich Schmidt coming to you. I'm the founder of Prophecy Focused Ministries, and I'm having just a wonderful time meeting with you folks on our morning broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us on The Word for Life. It's such a pleasure to be able to spend a few minutes with you. We're going to start a little bit of a series on the life-transforming work of the Holy Spirit. And folks, I've really got a burden for this particular topic. And here's the reason why. You see, many of our churches across the country have taken a back seat, if you will, when it comes to what the Holy Spirit should be doing inside of our lives and inside of our churches. And there's a very specific reason for that. People have been focusing on Christ, which is, of course, an absolutely wonderful thing to do. Focusing on our prayers to the Father, which is, of course, an absolutely essential thing to do. But for whatever reason, we've watched a cultural drift in our churches away from embracing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So what we're going to do over the next several broadcasts is we're going to focus in on what the Holy Spirit should be doing for us as His children. So we're going to look at just some basic concepts this morning. We're going to start to evaluate what has the Holy Spirit done in the past, what is He doing now, and eventually in our broadcast, we'll be looking at what the Holy Spirit will be doing in the prophetic future. So the first thing we're going to look at is what is the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit, and what does He do? Well, most of us are very aware that the Holy Spirit is a member of what we call the Trinity, the Godhead. There's three members of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the Trinity is something that theologians have been trying to explain and understand, quite frankly, since the beginning of time. And we never come up with the exact right illustration to make it understandable, the Trinity that is. Some people say, well, it's like an egg. Got three different pieces to the egg. They're all part of the same thing, but yet they're all different. Well, that's an understandable concept, but it really doesn't encapsulate the total idea of the Trinity. Some have come up with the idea of water. Well, you have ice, you have vapor, you have the actual water itself, so it's three parts, but all part of the same concept. Well, folks, we can try and try as hard as we will. There's some things that we just can't fully understand as human beings exactly how the Trinity, made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all the same, yet all different. Folks, that's a tough one to figure out. But it's true nonetheless. So we're going to talk a little bit about what is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're all familiar with, of course, Jesus Christ. In our culture specifically, we're aware of Jesus lived in eternity past. He came down from heaven. He went to the cross for us. He died. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose again. And of course, He's now up in heaven sitting with the Father. But what about the Holy Spirit? Well, I want to take you back to Psalm chapter 51, verse 9. David was praying to the Father, and he was praying about the Holy Spirit. And here's what he said. And David said, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence." And here's the key. "And do not take your Holy Spirit from me." You see, back in the Old Testament times before Jesus Christ came, the Holy Spirit did not constantly indwell believers, if you will. So King David, even though he was a believer in God and he tried to follow the Lord, he had committed some, quite frankly, some very nasty sins. And David is repenting. He's coming before God and he's saying, "Listen, please, God, don't hide yourself from me. Please, would you forgive my sins?" And basically then he said, "Please do not take the Holy Spirit from me." In other words, the Holy Spirit did not permanently indwell believers before Jesus Christ came. But then David was in about 1000 BC. Let's move ahead now to right when Jesus Christ was on earth. So we're looking at about 30 AD. And Jesus was getting ready to be crucified. He was getting ready to be arrested. And he's sitting with his disciples. And he begins to instruct his disciples about someone who needed to come because he, Jesus, needed to go away. So he spends John chapter 14 through 16 talking to his disciples, preparing them for his death, subsequent resurrection, and then his ascension to heaven. John 14, 17 says, "The Spirit of truth," Jesus telling his disciples, "whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." He was preparing the disciples for something tremendously different that was going to take place after his death, burial, and resurrection. We move on a few verses later about the Holy Spirit, and John again instructing his disciples says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." So Jesus is saying, listen, guys, my friends, my disciples, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be leaving. And, of course, the Bible makes it clear that the disciples really didn't understand what was happening. They didn't quite understand the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension at this particular juncture. They would shortly after his resurrection. And they're listening to this, and Jesus is telling them, I have to go away, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And they're like, okay, I'm not sure what that means, but we're listening. We move ahead a chapter to John 15, 26, and Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So Jesus is starting to help the disciples understand, and of course it's recorded in Scripture. We've been reading it for 2,000 years so we could understand what Jesus was talking about. And he's saying, listen, when I leave, when I go up to the Father, God the Father, the Spirit of truth is going to come and he's going to testify of me. You see what he's saying here, ladies and gentlemen? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, after I'm resurrected, after I ascend up to the Father, which happened way back in about 33 AD, the Holy Spirit, another member of the Trinity, would literally be down here on earth testifying about Christ. And you're like, well, that's very interesting because I've never seen the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You never will. Not down here while we're in these earthly bodies. We can't see him, but he's here. And we're going to explain that as we move forward. So let's go into the crux of this. So here's what takes place. And I'm going to read one more verse that Jesus told his disciples. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Here's what it says. And Jesus, speaking to his disciples again, says this: "However, when he, the Spirit of truth," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." All right, so here's the stage. You ready? The Holy Spirit would come and go in believers before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Jesus is saying, when I go away, in other words, after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, the Holy Spirit literally is going to come and he's going to indwell you believers. Did you catch that? From the time after Jesus' ascension till the current time, which is nearly 2,000 years, Jesus is making it clear, when you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Well, let's see exactly how that came to pass. If you got a Bible, you can go to Acts chapter 2, which talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all," speaking of the Christian community, if you will, "in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were seating. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them." Now here's the key verse, Acts 2:4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, folks, this is an amazing scene. The disciples are up. The ascension of Jesus had happened. They're in this room. They're waiting. They're praying, waiting for this Holy Spirit to come, just like Jesus said it would. And all of a sudden, on the day of Pentecost, which is very important, we'll get to that in a minute, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. Now, folks, here's why that's important and why that day is important. In the Bible, the Old Testament talks about three pilgrim feasts. In other words, every Jewish male had to come to Israel during those three pilgrim feasts. What are those feasts? Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Three times a year, all Jewish males from around the known world at that time were to come to Jerusalem. So these Jewish men, many coming from places that didn't speak Hebrew or didn't speak Greek or Aramaic or the language of the day, they would come to the temple, they would offer their sacrifices, they would take part in the feast, and then they would go back to their own countries. So you had hundreds of thousands of people speaking different languages in Jerusalem at that time. And God says something amazing takes place. Let's look at our Acts 2 passage again. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Why? Because it was one of the pilgrim feasts. The Jewish people had to be there. And when this occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? In other words, Galileans, they only know one language. How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we're born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. God is doing an amazing thing way back in about 33 AD, sending the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus had promised in John 14 through 16, and now the Holy Spirit is there, filling these individuals, allowing them this wonderful, what we call the gift of speaking in different languages, and it's taking place right there in Jerusalem. God is doing something wonderful, if you will, through the Jewish people. So, why is this important? And we're going to build on this in future broadcasts, so you don't want to miss those. We're starting with the basic concept right now that in Acts chapter 2, way back in 33 AD, the Holy Spirit came, indwelt people, Christians only, not unsaved people, but what we know as Christians. Let me give you one verse before we close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it tells us this, that every Christian has been placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Folks, do you realize the wonderful truth that if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, Christian, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we should live for God based on that fact. Well, we'll expand on this later. Thanks again for listening to the Word for Life broadcast. Join us once again as we continue our study in God's Word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.